listening to Strange Label.
Hello, good evening, morning, afternoon. I'm Chris Briggs, sitting here with my good friend John Rapp. Hey, John.
Hey, Chris. What's up there, man?
Nothing. I'm going to play this ukulele, and then we're going to talk about who knows what. We got a pirate. We're going to be speaking with a pirate. All right, let's do this. Chris Briggs, go. Uh-oh.
The hi-hat is not high.
Is this high? What's happening here?
If you don't hire the hi-hat, it just goes like this.
Ah.
That's kind of cool.
Ooh. Ah! This is getting off to a rocky start. All right. Get that last word in there. You ever hate that when you're playing with a band or something and they always just have to get that extra note in there? You know, instead of just ending, it's like, come on, man. Like, let's end this thing together at the same time. And there's always that one guy that just has to keep it going.
He always gets the last one in. I try not to be that guy, but sometimes I am. But
remember how annoying it was when, I hope he doesn't hear this, although maybe he knows, maybe he did on purpose, but remember Dr. Robert, we had a song at the end where it was just supposed to go ding, 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 ding. You know, like, I don't know, like, what's the...
Or what's, I think it's, I like, even... I think I tried to count it as like 9. But you wanted even less than that. You just wanted to even... go...
Yeah, I don't even know what the... I can't do it because I'm not a...
But then he slid his fingers down the neck like...
Yeah, I can't do it. But it was just supposed to, you know, like, it's something you've heard done a million times in a song. It's like, ding, 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 ding. You know, it's just like the end of a song. Like, you tell a punchline and it goes, ding, 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 ding. I don't know. Am I making this up?
What was that song called?
Was that Unusual Character?
Yeah.
It should be in the Break Records folder, maybe. Songs.
Oh, yeah. Well, we definitely have to hear this. Because we went over and over that with it. Like,
we just tried to get him to, like, just go ding, 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 ding.
He recorded that like 90 times.
But he would always go ding, 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 ding.
And then he'd look at you like, oh, that was good, right? I nailed that one. Like, that was good.
Like, no, think of it like a, you know, like a Tom, you know, like a doom, doom, you know, like whatever that is. The end of a joke, you know, it goes boom, boom. You know, he goes ding, 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 ding. You know, like, he's like boom, 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 boom. It's like, no, dude, just boom, 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 boom.
It's starting a whole new song over
there. Yeah, we couldn't get him. Like, it's like, no, just, it should only be like a second long ding, 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 ding. And he would not or could not do it. He couldn't rap his. I don't know why. I don't. You know, I mean, how else could we have explained to him to go ding, 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 ding?
I think that's when people talk about bars, you know, people that actually know what they're doing, like music people. I think that, what they call musicians, I think that they say bars, you know, do 4 bars of that.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear this.
I finally found it.
Because what ended up happening is he couldn't grasp it. So, John, I think you just went in and just cut that piece of the song off, and you literally just... cut off the extra ding, 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 ding.
Fix it in post.
Yeah.
Do it live.
I feel bad about doing that because that's kind of like you hear those rumors that Paul McCartney.
It's not punk, dude.
You hear those rumors that Paul McCartney went in and re-recorded Ringo's drums.
That's so weird.
You know?
That's weird. I would like to know whether or not I'm hearing Ringo. Okay, let's hear
I
that.
Believe they both said that that's not true.
But he's. Who
that's
said,
just,
who
it's
said
a rumor.
That? Oh,
it's
a rumor.
Ringo and Paul both said it's not true, but, you know, it's a rumor. Let's hear this.
Oh, man. He already has a pair hanging on his mirror. And okay. How the f- does he have Hawaiian plates?
It should be done.
Like, yeah, we cut it.
We like it was longer than that.
Yeah.
It was supposed to go ding 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 ding.
Ubuntu's.
Is it on shuffle?
Music player is so much fun. Rhythm Box.
Oh, why aren't you using a VLC?
Oh, because this, it automatically opens the Rhythm Box. Oh. If you don't want it to.
I need to change that.
Yeah.
Change it later. Don't do it now, John.
Okay. That's how this happens, though, Chris. And it never gets changed.
I'll change it. And if not, we can just talk about it then, too.
Rhythm Box.
On his mirror. And how the f- does he have Hawaiian plates?
Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding.
It's those little weird things you get into, you know? It's like, oh, the whole record sounds like shit, and that's great. But, man, this one thing, like, dude, just diddly-diddly-dee, you know? All right, diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly-diddly. No, man, like, you get into, it's just so silly. The recording process is so much fun. You get into so many fun little weird things. That was the only one, I think. Like, it was a punk rock record.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't really have...
That was the only overdub. And if you listen really close, you can hear Chris. No, dude.
Am I crazy? I mean, that bothered you too, right?
It was strange. It was funny that after you asked for it, it didn't happen. Like that became the hardest thing in the world to go diddly diddly.
I remember we were both were sitting there next to him, going like, "Man, you know, like you understand the concept, like."
Yeah, it was one of those where he said, yeah, I get it, but maybe he had a different thing in his head, like some Led Zeppelin song or something. Whatever it was, yeah. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm a guy that only wants to take like two, maybe three takes at the most. So I recorded some of that, and I was like, yeah, that's fine, we'll fix it later.
We were crazy bastards the way we manipulated that situation. You know, I was like, all right, dude, you're not going to get it, so we'll just cut it up. And I remember something like that happened, too, when, what was it? Oh, he wanted, Dr. Robert wanted to use effects. Like, here we are, this, like, literally a garage band, and we just wanted to sound like, you know, just people pounding on drums and playing, you know, shitty, like, real effects out of an amp.
Yeah.
You know, and he wanted... He had some, or maybe it was your effects pedal. What was that thing you had, John?
One of those crappy $50, like 100 effects in one, you know? Make it sound like this.
All or digital.
Or echo. Wow.
But it was all digital.
It was all digital. Yeah, all digital. It was a multi-effects pedal. All digital. Sounded like crappy, especially through a crappy amp.
Now, maybe if you had multiple guitars or maybe even a bass in the band... You know, and you kind of layered these together, it wouldn't sound as bad, you know? You kind of hide it in there. But with us, Robert was the only guitar player. Like, he was the only one making sound, you know, music, melody.
Right.
And we're like, no, dude, don't use that thing. And he just, you know, I don't know how we couldn't get him to not use it.
He just loved using it.
He just loved the effects. You know, he got bored and it was like, we'll learn another technique on the guitar instead of having to rely on these effects.
That's a good point. Yeah, you can always upgrade your technique.
But so what? So
you
what?
Johnny or Joey, whatever his name is, Ramon got tired of playing that same do 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 do. Probably, but he did it, didn't he?
Exactly.
He didn't have a wah.
And we could have been them.
If we could have been. Hey, thanks. I just want to take this opportunity. Hey, thanks a lot, Dr. Robert.
We could have been the Ramones, bro.
Come on, dude. Gosh.
But I remember you solved this problem, so it was ingenious what you did.
It was an emotional thing. That's why it was unplanned.
You just. You know, because we would pack everything up, you know, after we were done and then bring it back out after practice, you know, when it was time to practice.
How did we solve that?
You took the power cord and you just hit it. You hit the power cord to the effects pedal.
Before Chris Brake took my power cord.
No, he never
even said a word.
No, he was just like, oh, man, that sucks. Where's that power cord? And you're like, I don't know, man. Well, we don't have much time. Let's just go on without it. Meanwhile, John's fucking manipulating the situation.
That is a good way. Because like you said, whenever we broke up or whatever, because I was like, oh, if you leave, your band's over with, which if you guys wanted to keep the band up, you obviously could have undid the we're breaking up thing. But it was like, don't give Robert an ultimatum. You know, don't do it. And yeah, I'm glad that I didn't do that with the, you know, the effects pedal.
What are you talking about?
If I would have said, like, Robert, stop using this dang effects pedal, or you had said, like, Robert, that thing sucks, and we tried to tell him it didn't work.
never put Robert in a corner.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I guess I probably knew that, like, intentionally. I was afraid of him to a degree, so I didn't put him in the corner, but... You're right.
Afraid of him. I mean, other than he's gonna.
When I first met him, I was like, I don't know. This guy's kind of crazy. I'm a little bit scared of this guy.
Don't pee on his leg.
Right. Definitely don't do that. You'll be fine. He's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, you don't want to give.
Don't pee on him.
You don't really want to give anyone an ultimatum, especially not Dr. Robert, old guitarist.
Yeah.
But he was. Oh man, what the hell was I gonna say? Oh, yeah, votes. That's why votes are no good in bands. You know, it's like, we're going to hold a vote, you know, and that sucks because, especially if you have three people in the band, you know, and then, you know.
Well,
I don't think we ever did votes.
Even because it's odd, right? I mean, there would be a winner. Two of us want to stay and you want to leave. You have to stay.
But that'd be me telling, you know, us telling Dr. Robert, we vote not for you to not use that pedal. You know, and then it's like, wait, you guys are now telling me what to do, you know? It's like.
It's a democratic process, man.
Yeah, the goal is just to get him to understand, which, you know, I guess wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, so we had to trick him.
But what were you talking about, leaving and ultimatum back in...
At Skatopia or whatever.
Oh, the way Robert left the band is we had a show that we'd been waiting all day to play, and then when he didn't want to wait any longer. You know, it was one of those situations where the show was supposed to start at 7, and then it gets pushed back to midnight, you know, in 1 hour increments.
yeah, played at Skatopia.
Yeah, like
you're not going to go on time at all.
And by
it might be 4 a.m. when you get on.
And by midnight, Dr. Robert had enough, and he wanted to drive the 5 hours back home.
That was crazy. But he had to get somewhere early the next day, right?
I think so.
I think it was a wedding.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a turning point. It's like, dude, you can either stay and rock out at Skatopia with, you know, the shitty Green Jello wannabe bands, because I don't think Green Jello was there that year. Or you can drive home and go to your wedding. He's going to the wedding. And so was the hired bass player, right? The guy that kind of came in to our live bass player. He was down to leave, too. Because he's the one that drove, right?
Yeah, with his wife, which is pregnant wife, which is just stupid. But
let me bring my pregnant wife to Skatopia.
No, Green Jello was there.
God bless the guy. It's a hilarious story, though. It's hilarious that we're not as... It's tight with the bass player, I guess, so I feel a bit bad about busting his balls. But hey, you're in the Bone Fags, you get your balls busted. It was a bad idea to bring the pregnant wife to Skatopia. I think looking back, now we know that.
Well, so, he probably didn't know what it was.
We didn't either, honestly.
And it's one of those situations.
I understand why he drove away.
That guy probably thinks, like, oh, I'm a punk, you know? It's like, dude, you're not a fucking punk. You know,
I think that guy's just kind of on his own thing. And he was
which we all are, you know.
He was totally fine with just doing that shitty tour, and that was it. He just wanted to do that. He was like, so I can tell my kid.
Yeah.
He's like, so I can go and tell my kid, hey, I tried to do it. I went out there and I tried. So you do the same thing. You know, I went on this crappy tour with the Bone Fags. He's going to tell his kid that someday. We get this kid on the show.
He probably listens to this. I think he does.
If he does, God bless you. You know, you're a member of the Bone Fags. That's why we rough you up a little bit there, guy.
But no, you know, it's not like, how do I explain it? Like, Skatopia is just weird. You know, like, you don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah, you have no idea.
When you get there, you know, it's not, you probably want to leave, you know, especially if you brought your pregnant wife with you.
Right.
But no, Green Jello was there because after they left, Robert and them, we had the guy that Paul Zero play guitar for us.
Okay.
Which was a bad idea.
I told you, John.
I said, John, you play guitar. You know these songs. How about you play guitar? And we don't really need a drummer, you know?
Here's what...
All you kept saying was, you were so mad, you kept saying, I just want to beat the fuck out of these drums, man. I just want to play these drums. And I was like, John, we're not going to sound good if no one's playing the guitar.
I wanted some Henry Rollins. Like, you go up there and you scream, and I'm going to hit these drums. Because by that point, no one's going to watch this anyway.
And that Paul Zero guy from the Green Jello, you know, we told him what was going on. And, you know, I don't know if we were aware that he was a really good fucking drummer at that time, but, or maybe you just claimed the drums and said no one else could play. I'm going to play
these drums. It probably was that. Yeah, we need a guitar player.
He's like, I can play a guitar.
Yeah.
He's like, can you? He's like, not really. I just picked it up the other day when I took a bunch of mescaline. So this guy on mescaline just made these, like, ominous tones on the guitar.
I'd like to hear that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's recorded.
But here's the best thing about it. Bill Manspeaker threw bottles of water or beer or something at Paul Zero the whole time he was playing the guitar.
Oh, that did suck.
Did it? Okay, I was back behind the drums, and I didn't really know about it until later. He was like, the best thing was I was hitting your ass with this fucking shot the whole time you're on the guitar, man.
Yeah, so we got this hilarious. Half-assed, yeah, and it was a lot of fun.
Quote, fun. But yeah. You're the front man. You probably got hit with all that stuff.
I don't remember getting hit with too much stuff.
That's good.
Yeah, so the whole time we're playing, fucking Bill Manspeaker's just heckling fucking Paul Zero, throwing shit at him. A guy who's
cracking
tripping.
Up the whole time.
Yeah, he's...
look at him. This is like he was just, that was his personal entertainment.
You want to call this pirate? This is going to be a mood changer.
Yeah.
We've got a real life pirate named Captain Tones. Who's lives in, I believe it's Verona, Italy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Italy. That's all I know is Italy.
Is Verona in Italy?
Yes.
All right. Anthony.
Anthony, is what we call him?
He said we can call him whatever we want.
I mean, do you want me to physically place the call?
Yes. Yes, please.
That is a calling.
And then what's Capitan? Is that a...
El Capitan? You're live on the Chris Break Show.
Uh-oh.
Where are you?
Everything looks good on my end, I think. Yeah. Fucking live. Oh, I bet he's using the mic. I forgot to call him. Hey, that mic, we can't hear you when you're using that mic, Anthony. Yep. Yeah, I called him and just checked the audio.
Yeah, it was working the other day, right? And now he has a new mic and...
Yeah, yeah. Son of a gun. Are we still connected?
Yeah.
Well, let's troubleshoot here. I didn't hear when you call, doesn't it normally go do-do-do-do?
Yeah, I didn't hear that either, but the sounds may be turned off. If I were a good button pusher guy.
Check, yeah.
Hello?
Oh,
here we go. It's a long way, you know, Indianapolis to Italy.
Italy.
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
We're sweating in a heat wave here. It's 40 degrees.
I went through this yesterday. Did you hear that, John?
A heat
it's
wave.
It's worse.
How hot is it?
40.
Oh, 40 degrees Celsius?
Yeah, yeah. I was really confused.
That's going to be like 100 plus, yeah, in Fahrenheit.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and there's no end to it. You see, it's been about 4 or 5 weeks.
4 or 5 weeks of 100-degree weather.
No, it's just every day it gets warmer and warmer, you know, and now it's unbearable.
Wow. Do you believe in global warming?
I do.
I guess, I bet it sounds like you would.
Well, you know, it's not easy to know where to start with you guys because I've been listening to you while you were talking just now.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
And I'm saying to myself, you know, why would these guys want to speak to a pirate on their show, you know?
Who wouldn't?
Well, there you go. So this is a first. This is a real first. Every time I've been on shows before... It's been about specific things, you know, like UFOs or the planet Nibiru and all kinds of stuff. It's never been about pirates.
Well, you're a fucking pirate.
It's all about pirates today, man.
You're a fucking renegade. You're a fucking outlaw.
So that's pretty cool, really. So it's a first for me to talk about something I really love and understand.
You love being a pirate. Okay, what is, just so we can all, you know, like, what exactly is a pirate? Because our idea is, you know, I mean, I think it's catapulted beyond the eye patch and the peg leg and the parrot and the arg. But now at this point, you know, it's Captain Phillips, you know? Like, I'm the captain now.
Well, I ran away from home when I was 14, just to give your listeners an idea of where I'm coming from. And I ran away to sea as wash the plates, you know, as a cabin boy.
What are the plates?
A cabin boy?
Yeah, wash the plates. Someone's got to wash the plates.
Oh, like in the kitchen?
In the kitchen.
On a boat?
On a boat.
on a big ship.
In the galley.
Wow. Ran away at home, jumped on a boat.
Well, I asked the guys, I said, where's the furthest way away from London? Because I'm from London. And they said Australia, so that's where I went.
How old were you when that happened? I mean, 14, I'm sorry. What year was that?
That was, hey, I'm really old now because I've retired, okay? So so I'm now, you know, the pirates don't retire at 65. They retire at 70, which is, I've just retired. And that's why I'm doing these shows, because I couldn't really speak before because I couldn't tell people what I did. But anyway, I ended up at 17 years of age in the Baltic Sea. You know where the Baltic Sea is?
No, but that's okay. That's not important. That's, so what year? What year was that? Like, what year did you run away?
Away when I was 14.
19.
So, how old are you?
That's 60. 1960.
Okay,
I'm just trying to picture the landscape, you know,
I'm
like
70. I'm
London,
70, 70,
London, 1960, 14 years old, going, you know, hopping on a boat.
Ship, big ship.
A ship.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And me, tiny little boy, you know.
That's insanely terrifying. I'm scared to death.
Oh, it got even worse. I never got off the ship until we went to South Africa. When we arrived in South Africa, I got off the ship for the first time, and it was the first time I'd seen colored people. I'd never seen colored people before.
Right.
And it was also the time of apartheid, when Nelson Mandela was in prison and all that kind of thing. And
was a scary time, wasn't it?
It was a scary time, and I'd never been in a foreign country before. I'm only 15, and I'm from London. Anyway, I find myself lost in Durban, and I walk through an area which was a black area, and I'm a white guy, so all of a sudden I'm arrested for apartheid laws.
Now what is that? You just can't be white around there?
I wish I could tell you. I mean, I know what it is, but
in,
yeah.
In those days.
Tones, if you can now. Tell our listeners.
Well, not now. in
South
those
crazy.
Days. It, not now.
Right,
now
right.
It's changed. But in those days, it was called apartheid. And that meant that black people and white people had to be completely separated.
Segregation, okay.
A total segregation, be
wow.
It park benches, be it areas, be it house, everything was segregated. Well, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
So,
wait, that's fucked up because that's like, because
well, yeah.
In America, I mean, in America we had that, but white people
oh,
were allowed
didn't
to
have it as bad.
White
as
people
this.
Were allowed to go wherever they wanted.
Oh, wow. It's the opposite of the just, States. So, in South Africa back then, it was segregation, but you couldn't be white. Yeah. You should have came to America,
is that
man.
True? Who was better off during the apartheid in South Africa, the blacks or the whites?
I don't care because I was blacklisted for the rest of my life. Even today, I'm blacklisted from South Africa. I can't go there anymore. They gave me 6 strokes of the cat of nine tails.
Like they hit
what?
You with it? They whipped you?
What?
That was my punishment because I was under 16. I was under 16, so I couldn't go to prison, you see.
So you got arrested for being white and they whipped you.
In a black people's area.
That's insane.
And you got whipped 6 times.
Yeah.
Once.
So, but this is not what I've come here to tell you. You're pushing me in this direction. I don't
know
why.
Sorry.
But anyway.
We're pulling.
So the thing is that when I got back to London, I was in those days classified as a troublemaker, you know, not a good boy. Never mind, it wasn't my fault. And so I couldn't find a job. Eventually, I got lucky and I was on a small Swedish ship. And off we went to Sweden in the Baltic Sea, which is Sweden and Poland, Germany, Russia, that big sea there. And unbeknown to me, I was still young. Unbeknown to me, I had some particular skills.
What were your skills?
Well, I could...
Being a candy bar over there?
No.
It's a bag of weed, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you something else, guys, while we're on the story. The reason I'm talking to you is because nobody believes me, okay? So oh. It's not... So you can laugh. It's funny. Everybody does.
No. We believe you. We're just joking about the candy bar. What is it? What's? Yeah. We didn't know that you had an unbelievable story. We believe everything, or I do.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
No, we're not here to poke fun. No. We're here because this is fucking exciting. We like adventure stories.
You're a pirate, dude.
You're a fucking pirate, man.
You got to have some tales, some wild stories. And I've been entertained so far, but sorry. Don't take our laughter as we're mocking you. We're totally
anyway,
not.
Otherwise, we're not going to have enough time, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning here in Italy.
What, are you so, jumping off here?
No, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just smoking.
Is that a bag of weed or not?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to confirm. Okay, go ahead.
if it wasn't, then I wouldn't be here. It's too late anyway for my brain, you know. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got on this ship in this Baltic Sea in Sweden.
What were your specific type of tools set that you had?
I could handle a ship in any condition and make it do whatever I wanted it to. If you tell me where you want the ship placed, I will place it there without any problem. I had a specific skill of handling any kind of ship. And a captain on a ship that had problems, that people couldn't handle it properly, he called for me to join his ship, which I did. I went to his ship. He gave me an increase in salary, and I joined, and I handled the ship where no one else could handle it.
What did the ships do? Like, why were they on the water?
Well, they were taking cargo from one place to another.
Okay.
For shipping goods. So, like, what were the size of these ships? Because, you know.
Oh, 1,700 tons. Small ships.
That's a lot of tons, though.
Pretty big.
It sounds big, but they're only small. They're only small.
Oh, because like a van. They have vans. Like, vehicles weigh a ton, right? Like, doesn't a Hummer weigh like a ton?
I think so.
Okay, we're just trying to. We don't know anything about this at all.
So 1,500 Hummers in weight, you know.
It's a lot of Hummers.
Not in size, in weight. Oh. Anyway, I went to this, joined this ship, and this ship, I didn't know at first, but I found out afterwards, was a pirate ship, okay?
And what does that mean? What does that mean, a pirate ship? What is that? Because I don't know anything about the water. Pirate ship, is that someone that's just, they do illegal stuff on the water?
Yeah.
Okay, and you didn't know it, and you got on one?
Yeah.
Wow. How old are you now? Like 16 or something?
17.
Your life story is terrifying, sir.
Well, one of the reasons I'm here is because I'm looking for a publisher to publish my autobiography. So if there's any publishers or literary agents out there, listen in, because I got a lot to say.
And you can get that at CaptainTones.com, right?
Thank you very much.
CaptainTones.com.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug there, Chris. Anyways, that's how I became a pirate, because the captain of this pirate ship took a liking to me. And apparently, I was the perfect candidate, so he taught me everything I needed to know. And that took many years, as you can imagine. After which, I went and operated in the North Sea. Now, the North Sea is the sea between Great Britain and Europe. You know, that's the North Sea. Are right. You still with me?
Yeah.
And I went there and I started my own operations, you know, working for myself.
As a pirate?
Yeah.
Now, what did he teach you? Like what do you need to know? Like, what's day one basic training of being a pirate?
At the time of the training, you think it's boring because you want to know about all kinds of magical things and you don't want to know about history or about Greek sages, but that is all part and parcel of the teaching, because I am a piran. That's P-E-I-R-A-N, piran, pirate, and I follow the teachings of Solon, who was the sage and the chief of Greece about 500 years before Jesus, this is. So what I was taught goes back that far, okay?
Right. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was like a religious or a spiritual aspect of it.
Religion is not allowed. You cannot be a pirate if you're religious.
That makes sense. But what do you call it? You say you follow the teachings of Zolan?
Solon.
Solon.
S-O-L-O-N. Solon. S-O-L-O-N.
Is that just a faith or like you said, mystical?
Is anybody purine without being a pirate?
Yes. There has been. Solon, he was the president of Greece 500 years before Jesus, okay? And he called together all the people on the sea, be they legal, illegal, or explorers, or whatever, and he brought them into a group, and he called this group the Association of the Piran, okay? And he then sailed with them for 10 years to search and discover new trade routes and all kinds of stuff. And in the 10 years, he instilled upon the Piran a teaching that still lasts today.
Okay. So what was, so what were the first like physical set of skills you learned beyond the philosophy?
To speak and understand the sea, of course. You have to know the sea. Today, you've got lovely officers with nice uniforms and caps on ships. And the captain asks them, where are we now? And they press a button on a GPS system, and it comes up, oh, we're here, sir. But if the GPS system didn't work, they wouldn't know where the fuck they were.
Right.
They've lost all contact with the sea.
So now, did they tell you, like, I mean, like, what, when you found out you were going to be a pirate, you know, like, did they give you a mission, or do they let you know, like, hey, we're going to go rob this boat? Like, what were you robbing?
Well, basically, at the time, we weren't robbing anybody. We were doing a lot of contrabanding at the time. I think we took perhaps 80% of all the amber in Poland, we took that.
What? All of
You guys would mine it, or how would you get the
amber? Well, in those days, Poland was under the Russians, okay?
Right.
And so they had zlotys, which, like, with $1, you get a big pile of zlotys. And when I say a big pile, it's a big pile, like a drinks all for everybody for a dollar.
Wow.
What's a zlotys?
Zlotys was the money. It's the Polish money.
Oh, okay.
Before, now they have the euro, but all then they had to look. So we would buy up all the amber that arrived on the beaches. We would buy up pieces that were over a kilo in weight. That's really big, yeah?
That's huge. Okay. So you're doing
so
a business
thing. Would,
that doesn't sound illegal. Then,
It would be was, illegal, right?
It was kind of illegal in Poland, but it was more illegal where we took it to.
It sounds like the stock market.
Yeah.
Buy low, sell high.
You should have came to America, dude. Yeah. You can do all that stuff here.
Buy low, sell high.
It's the cornerstone of our capitalism.
So where'd you take it?
Sweden. Took it to Sweden. And the customs would always come on board because, you know, they knew who we were. And they'd look, and they couldn't find it because it was painted black. and put with the coal.
Oh, nice.
So that was like how I learnt my contraband work.
So that's like, that's a smuggling technique.
Well, I used to smuggle from England to Holland. I used to smuggle people. I used to smuggle all kinds of stuff. And
now, is somebody paying you? Like, are you an employee, or do you get like a piece of all that of the amber, like money?
Well, when it's small, like amber, or you have to take somebody wishes to
go across to Europe from England without being known. So you take it there, okay?
Right.
So that takes you one night. Tomorrow it's finished. You get paid. Goodbye. Well, that's also contraband, isn't it?
Yeah, but I guess what I'm asking is, are you getting like...
You're getting paid for that directly.
Okay, but you're not getting like the money from the amber. Like you're not making the money off the amber, right? Somebody else is paying you to do that task and then they take the money?
No, we're making the money from the amber.
Oh, okay.
So you're the top dog or whatever. You don't have to pay. In those days
I was learning. I was still learning my trade, so okay. I was a small dog, a very small dog.
But you kept all the profits though, right? Like you did.
Oh, of course.
That's pretty incredible.
Why would you smuggle a person?
Because they give you £2,000 and it's 8 hours work, right. So you smuggle them.
What do you think they were doing with them, though? I know they're probably different for each one, but...
You don't ask questions, you know?
Right.
The guy says, I want to go across to Holland and quickly, so how much? So you give him a price, he gives you the money, you tell him to get on board and you take him.
What are we talking about, like sex slaves and stuff?
No, we're talking about people who may be...
fugitive.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, right on. So you're...
But you don't ask questions, John. Don't worry, John. I don't want your listeners to get the wrong impression that I'm some kind of evil...
Right, that's
horrible.
Why I brought it up. I knew that was probably the answer, but I wanted them to hear you say it. No, we don't do sex stuff. It was just guys that needed to get away.
We don't do anything like that. We're nice guys, and that is one of the reasons I've come on your show, is to try and dispel the vision that Treasure Island and Johnny Depp have given to... My people.
So do you see being a pirate, that's a legitimate thing, right?
I mean, absolutely.
Sorry for the offense there, but I had no idea. Like you said, all we know is Johnny Depp and Pirates of the Caribbean and ARG. So
have you watched those Johnny Depp movies?
I have, of course, yes.
what do you think about them?
it makes me laugh. There are one or two points that they've touched on that I wondered where they got the information from, because it's quite reserved information.
Okay.
But anyway...
What are those points?
One or two points that we could go into another time. But,
all right, we'll
for
write
example,
that down.
The ships they got, right? Pirate ships weren't like that. The pirate ships didn't do anything that you see on Hollywood films or other films. They were totally different. And this is the problem. They really don't know. And they give this false image about pirates, which is very negative. And unfortunately, pirates have never had the opportunity until now to put their side of things, you know, their vision on things and what's going on. You know, a lot of pirates are pirates, but they're not pirates. So the system, the world system, comes along and says, what are you doing? And you say, oh, I'm loading this sackcloth in Indonesia. I take it to Manila and I change it, and they give me brass pots, which I take to Indonesia, which I change for more mass.
That's incredible,
right? No, this is true. What I'm telling you. So the government navy comes along and says, well, if you want to do that, you have to pay the tax.
Right.
And so the guy says, what tax is this? Oh, you got to travel through these waters. You got to pay the tax to the British government or this government or that government.
That's a bunch of crap.
They sound like fucking pirates.
You're right.
If you want to come through here, you got to pay us fucking Billy Goat's Gruff. Get the fuck out of my face. That pisses me off.
Exactly. So the guy who's been doing this, father and son, for 100 years, he says, no, I don't want to pay any taxes to you guys. So they said, right, well, we're going to declare you as pirates and blow you out of the water, which they did.
For not paying taxes, just because you said, I'm not going to pay you that taxes. They said, you're pirates and we're going to tag you.
Exactly.
I never paid it before. Why? What's happening here? Like, now you're just because you're coming along, You say you're going to kill me?
Yeah, who are you, man? Should have come to America, man. We had the Boston Tea Party. It was a big deal. You know,
America's just as bad.
I know.
Yeah, you're real cool guys. I'm enjoying this.
We're not cool, I will tell you that. At least I am not a cool guy.
John, we just scored a point. Why you got to knock us down?
I thought maybe he was being sarcastic. I was covering it.
Oh, I get it.
You've done jobs, says on your website, you've pulled gigs for the CIA?
Well, now you've gone right to our bottom line there, haven't you?
Well, we don't want to take up too much of your time because you said it's late over there.
Jesus, you know, you want to go straight there. That's really heavy stuff.
There's also Gaddafi.
Gaddafi.
There's a couple high bullet points. Gaddafi.
I lost that.
New People's Army, Communist Rebels. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Working with Sheiks. Sheiks sending you to capture two boats.
That's funny.
Two boats at the same time.
Yeah, you held a record.
Yeah.
This is the pirate, man.
Tell me about just capturing a fucking boat.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, pirates, again, not like Hollywood. Let's try and wipe Hollywood brainwash.
Well, yeah.
The only Hollywood I'm thinking of that.
Pirates, they are standby there. You might go 3 years before the telephone rings but another job. You might go 3 days and the telephone rings with the job. But you're not sitting in the sea waiting for somebody to pass and attack them or something like that. That's all bullshit.
So you're on standby. And,
you're on standby.
And somebody calls you and says, hey, we have a job for you.
We have a job for you. They can't do the job any other way, any legal way or whatever. So the only way they can do it is by calling people like me. So they call us, we go and do the job. So one of the jobs was capturing these two Dutch ships, which we did.
Why'd you have to capture it?
I didn't capture the ships for me. Right. I captured the ships on behalf of my client, who was a very high sheik.
How do you get on? Do you get on board? Do you go on there? I mean, like, how does that work? You pull up to a ship.
How do you get in contact with the sheik?
That's the only way you can drive the thing out of where you've got to get it to, you got to deliver it to the man. So
you take the whole ship. You don't just take the goods off. You take the whole fucking ship. Right. Two of them.
And what do you do with the people who are on it?
Well, they were safe.
Well, you're right. You got to deal with them, right?
Well,
tie them up.
We simply asked them kindly to leave the ship and jump into the sea and swim to the shore.
Nice.
And they did that for us.
Were there guns involved?
Yes, but I didn't have any.
Who had the guns?
We had a couple of the sheik's men with us with the guns, and that kind of caught me with suspicion because the four guards on the ship had guns, and of course they fired them, and of course as soon as I took over the ship, the cannons, they started firing cannons at us, switched off all the lights so we couldn't see where we were going.
So you're risking your life here. So how do you get on the boat?
Well, you're risking your life, and you get paid for it. you don't do the job unless you know you can do it.
How do you get on the boat?
Well, you climb on it.
Come on, man.
Well, on the rowing boat. You go with a rowing boat.
Okay.
And you come alongside, and you climb on board as quietly as you can.
Do you use do you bring tools, or do you just look for something that's hanging down?
Oh, there's always something hanging down.
There's like a ladder on the side of a boat or something. I've seen that in video games. James Bond does it. Okay.
Yeah, there's always a ladder there. The guards, they have to change. They go there with the rowing boat.
It's not that hard to get on it. It's just after you get on it, you got to stay on it, right?
Oh, let me tell you a secret, you guys.
Yeah, how do we do this?
Stealing a ship has got to be the easiest thing there is. It's easier than stealing a car or a truck or anything like that. It's the easiest thing you can do is to steal a ship.
Nice. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
Well, here's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like you got to know, someone needs to tell you where the boat's going to be, what's going to be on it, but you probably don't even need to know that.
Oh, of course. You have to know that. Of course. You have to have a program. You have to have a plan. What you're going to do. You know how you've got to get away because it's the getting away that's the difficult part.
Right.
Yeah.
And the money.
Cool.
And the money.
And the goods.
Well, you get the money upon delivery.
Okay. So
once you've delivered
When you steal a boat, do they chase you? Is there someone that chases you? Or are you scot-free? I mean, because it's hard to escape on the water, isn't it?
It's very easy. Didn't you read David Gibraltar? You know?
Robinson Crusoe?
Robinson
Crusoe. Captain Phillips. Hey, so, okay, so I want to... I'm really fascinated by this. The guy tells you, the sheik tells you, hey, I need these two boats. Here's where they're going to be. Here's what's on them. And what are his instructions other than that? Like, does he tell you?
No, I didn't tell him what I need.
How much does a job like that cost?
Well, in those days, it was extremely cheap. And if you, when I look back on it, I did it very cheaply. But if you put it in today's money, I suppose something about $35,000.
For one job, right?
Yeah, one job. Yeah, 22 hours.
That's one day's work.
Yeah.
Hot. So you. So that's very good. Okay, so you get in a rowboat with how big was your crew?
Two of us.
Okay, so three of you? You said there were two guards?
No, there were two big guys with us, armed. They were the sheikh's men.
Okay, so hold on.
It was just you and two guards? Is that it?
Two sheikhs. Me, my engineer, and two guards.
Okay, so four of you get in a rowboat.
Yeah.
Armed.
We row out to the boats, which are anchor.
Daytime or nighttime?
This is nighttime.
Okay, and the boats are anchored. So
yeah, we waited until last prayers, which is about 11 o'clock, half past 11, in the mosque. And then we went out to the two small ships. And there were supposed to be three guards on board. But after they've got three of them, and they're on the... They're in the water. The two sheik's men had finished their job, you know. There's no guards left. Like, it's up to us to. Well, as I ran to the wheelhouse to go up to the bridge, there was guard number four in front of me. And all I had in my hand was a rolled up chart, you know, a sea chart, and my instrument. And my instruments. I pointed the sea chart. And he had a gun, you know, like a rifle, but it was vertical, so he couldn't shoot me. So I waved at him and said, over the side with your friends. He looked over the side, saw his three friends swimming to the shore.
Nice.
And off he jumped over. So that was quite funny.
He just looked at him and said, after, there you go. Yeah, off you go.
Yeah, off you go. And he did. He just simply jumped over, gun and all, yeah.
He knew what the jig was.
Yeah. He was very funny.
That's hilarious. I'm out of here, dude.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Now, I wonder if those people got paid. You know, the people who jumped off. You know, because they were paid to guards.
They were just the sheik's guards. They were just like, you know, looking after his property. So what he thought was his property, you know. When I don't know, you see the television in America, it's like Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabia. Well, really, when you get there, it's not like that at all. It's Saudi Arabia is built up of dozens and dozens of sheikdoms. And
that's crazy.
I don't know what that means.
Some of these sheikdoms... A sheik is like smaller than a prince. Okay?
What is a sheik? What is that? Is this some religious dude?
No, it's a sheik. He's in charge of the people. He's the owner.
And he wrestles.
Of
the iron sheik.
The fucking desert. It belongs to him, right?
Oh, he owns the desert.
You're right. Wow. And he's a sheik. And all the people who live on that land, he is their boss. Okay? Nothing to do with religion. Well, some of these sheiks, they've been at war with other sheiks for 400 years. And they're still at war with each other. So although people say Saudi Arabia, in actual fact, it's a really strange, fucked up place.
It sounds like it. So there's female pirates? I saw that on your website. Female pirates, huh?
Yeah, let's not go into that.
Okay. Yanbo. What about the camel story?
No. We're not done.
Okay.
You don't want the camel story. Okay.
No, we're not done.
We're not done yet.
Yeah. So what was on these two ships? So you like we're focusing on this
on
one
the Yanbo. Yeah.
Yeah, the Yanbo. So
cement.
They're what? Cement.
Cement. Yeah, bags of cement. Yeah.
And this guy, this sheikh said that this other sheikh stole them from him.
Something like that, but you don't go into details. You don't want to know. All you want is do the job, get paid. You don't care who's right, who's wrong.
So you're in the middle of two sheiks.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it now. Everybody.
Normal place for a pirate to be.
It's not a bad place. You're in between two powerful people, right?
Well, that's the story of my life, guys. You know?
Just like right now. Me and Chris, very powerful people.
You're right in there, buddy.
Puts you in the mix.
Capitan
Tom's.
Well,
you know, the thing is that all my life I couldn't tell people. I couldn't tell people what I do.
That's hard.
You know, I had to keep my mouth shut. Now I've retired. I tell people like you guys that I'm telling you now, and I'm sure that you, hopefully, because of the tone of my voice and what I'm saying, even all your listeners are believing me, and that's what I want. I can't get through this disbelief thing because people, when you say the word pirate,
right,
they think evil and bad and drunk and raping and pillaging and stealing and everything negative. All the negative stuff comes out with the word pirate.
Well, nowadays though, I don't think we necessarily think Johnny Depp or anything like that. Like now when we hear pirate, we think Somali.
Want to know, you want some breaking news? You want, not breaking news, but I tell you something that no one will tell you. I don't know. You've seen that Captain Phillips film?
Yeah.
So that's a really nice film. And of course, Tom Hanks, really good actor. Love the guy. But film's crap. It doesn't tell the story, you know. It's like worse than Titanic.
They left some stuff out.
Well, okay. So let me tell you the story of Somali pirates. You want to know it? It's going to take about 5 minutes.
All right.
Nice.
So a long time ago, I used to work with the Somali pirates. I used to run camels from Somalia. And as contraband. So there you go. Not guns, not drugs, not people, camels. But that's another story. We'll come to that later. So Somali was a dumping ground for Swiss toxic waste. And they were like Italian mafia and the Italian government were giving aid to third world countries by building roads and stuff, but in reality underneath the roads they were dumping all this toxic waste. So
they were destroying the country.
Dumping chemicals.
We're
talking really, really toxic stuff. That's really, really number one
and a lot of it.
Fucked up stuff. Okay. So an Italian journalist, her name was Ilaria Alpi, she got to know about this. So they killed her, naturally. But because of the situation of this journalist, they couldn't dump the waste there anymore. So it all stopped. Well, a year later, a ship called the Achille Lauro was sunk off the Somalian coast. Of course, no one was dead. Everyone was saved, and it was really deep, so you couldn't go down there or do anything about it. Well, if if you can imagine a liner lying on the bottom of the fucking sea, over the years, months and years, oil and shit that's inside the ship floats to the surface.
Yeah.
And so there's a mark there, more or less, of where the ship is. So the mafia and the guys like that, they said, oh, this is a good idea. All the toxic waste now, we can dump that
in that area where the Achille Lauro is.
Oh, nobody would even notice.
No one's going to notice.
Because it already looks like shit.
And we can collect the money from the Swiss guys. Pharmaceutical companies, you know, all that kind of
shit. So these people are getting paid to just make this waste disappear.
Yeah. So they decide to dump it down.
Because how would you normally disappear it? Would it just cost a lot more money?
Probably billions. It's so toxic. Anyway, that's another story. So after a couple of tsunamis and storms, the shit toxic that they've dropped there starts to break open. And the shit inside starts to come out and poison the sea. Or the fish die. So the local fishermen, they can't catch any fish anymore, can they?
So so you're saying that Somalia, like a lot of people lived off the land.
They lived off the land and along the coast, they lived off the fish. So all of a sudden, the fishermen can't catch any fish anymore. All of a sudden, fish are flip-flapping on the beach, dying.
Right.
Because of all this toxic shit that has just killed the sea. So then some of these drums, blue drums, wash up on the beach. Pictures of these can be found on my website under Somali. And their kids start to play with these drums on the beach. And after a while, their little fingers started falling off.
Oh, God.
Well, they didn't tell you this in Captain Phillips' film, did they? Anyway, so the Somali fishermen,
I don't know if they told me or not, because all the subtitles, I watched a bootleg version, the subtitles for the Somalis weren't on there.
No, believe me.
But yeah, but I figured that's what they were saying, because I'm familiar with some of what you're saying. I mean, not all these details, but I knew that they were angry because they couldn't feed their family. I imagine that's what they were ranting about in Somali.
Well, anyway, they...
So the fingers started falling off, and
well, their wives started miscarriaging and giving malformed babies and all kinds of shit, thanks to this toxic shit. So the fishermen got together and they said, "What are we going to do about this?" And they said, "We're going out there and we're going to get one of them ships that we've seen dropping all this shit into the sea. And we're going to catch it and we're going to ask them for $3 million damages." They did that. They went out and they got a ship and they asked for $3 million damages. The name of the ship that they got was called the Sirius Star, a Saudi Arabian tanker. I immediately got in touch with my Saudi Arabian contacts and offered to mediate. And they said, no, we don't need to mediate because it's only $3 million, so we're going to pay immediately, which they did. So now, all of a sudden, in one swift action, the Somali fishermen have become pirates and they've got $3 million. And all of a sudden, the terrorist organizations, Al-Shabaab and the warlords, they were watching this and they said, shit, that's a good way of making money. So they got hold of these fishermen and made these fishermen work for them.
Wow. So they hired them. And so it's a whole industry now.
Now it's a $6 billion industry with satellites and airplanes and armed people on ships and all kinds of shit going on. That is how it started. So what I'm saying is that, number one, if the toxic waste hadn't have been dumped there, there wouldn't be no Somali piracy. Number two, the toxic waste is still there. It's a time bomb. It's killing the sea. And the next tsunami will open more containers. And nobody is doing fuck all about this. And that's the end of the Somali story.
That's terrible. Who should and what should we do about that? Getting that toxic waste out of there? Because that's bad news.
It's really bad news. And unfortunately, no one wants to know.
Well, how do we get rid of it?
I don't know.
You protest. You should protest.
All I can tell you is this is the situation. What, who, and how people deal with it is, you know.
They're probably going to have to blame somebody for it, and whoever, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, has a specific company been blamed?
Well, everybody knows who's to blame. I don't think we should look at it like that. I should think we should look at it like, how much toxic waste has opened and poisoned the sea? How much toxic waste is still there? And if it all opens, what's going to fucking happen to the Indian Ocean?
Yeah, it's a ticking time bomb, man.
It's a time bomb, man. Anyway, you asked about Somali piracy. That's my take on that, okay?
Wow. So you're saying not all pirates are like that? Or are they?
Well, let's put it this way. About 3 weeks ago, a small tanker off Indonesia was stopped by pirates. And when the ship made port, and they went, and the reporters are there from the Malaysian or Indonesian television, and the guys say, yeah, the pirates came and they took all our beer and they took all our money. they made the captain open his safe. They took all the money out of there. They even took our whiskey, their cigarettes, and all our gold chains and everything. They left us with nothing, these bastards. And that is what went out. That is what went out on the media, okay?
Right.
Well, the real story is that this fucking ship, this little tanker, had been consistently washing his tanks at sea. Now, when you wash your tanks at sea, you kill off about, it's like the equivalent of cutting down 4 hectares of rainforest. That's the damage it does.
Wow.
So this has been doing it all the time. So the pirates went to it and they said, don't fucking do that anymore. Otherwise, we'll have you. And they said, fuck off. And they did it again. So the pirates attacked them, took everything away, and they said, next time you do it, we'll sink you.
Because they're fucking up stuff for everybody, right? It's like, don't do this.
They're fucking up. And now, if a pirate can't stop him, no one can stop him. So that's the kind of shit we do, you know? And, of course, it's quiet, it's silent, and, of course, you only see the media about these poor guys that were held up and the pirates took all their beer.
Took our beer.
No one asked the question, well, why would the fucking pirates risk attacking a tanker? I mean, if it was carrying cargo that they could steal or containers that they could open, okay, but what are they going to do attacking a tanker? And no one asked the question. And if they did, they'd get an answer. Because this fucking tanker, for months and months, has been fucking up the sea. And somebody has to look after the sea. So pirates love the sea. They're in tune with the sea. So they're the ones who make that stop.
Wow. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap this up. Thanks so much, Anthony. But before we wrap it up, I want to get to the end of the story with the two ships that you had to get for the Sheik. So after you get those, you know, you're now in charge of two fucking ships. Strapped together. Are they side by side or is one pulling the other?
Side by side. Side by side.
What do you do with them? Do you move them?
All I've got is one engine. I've only got one engine started on one of the ships. The other ship is got no engine started yet.
Nice.
Because there's only two of us. And so we've got one started and we're turning round towards the exit. And it's quite a difficult exit, Yambo. It's like an S. Yeah. And it's all rocks and corals. And they've got all these little lights that show you where you got to go. Well, all of a sudden, once the Sheik had understood what was happening and the alarm had gone up, they switched all the lights out. And so everything was blackness and you couldn't see anything. But I was already lined up. So I had it, you know, a good idea of where I was going. When I got to the end of the first curve of the first S, if you like, you know, I had to go really slow. They started firing everything. They were like rifles and then a cannon. And the cannon went straight over our heads.
But luckily, they kept firing where we were, not where we were, had now moved to and where we were going. They just thought we would still be there at anchor.
They're firing at their own ships?
Well, obviously, they weren't their ships.
That's crazy.
Oh.
They wanted them back, so they're going to shoot at them.
Yeah.
That's wild, man.
So I had a stroke of luck. I really knew how to get out. But just in case, there were about a dozen ships outside in the sea at anchor, big ships. And I radioed out there and asked a friendly brother if he could help me out on his radar, which he did.
Nice. Man, that's a stroke of luck.
So now,
dude,
where do you take those ships?
To Jeddah.
To where? To the guy?
To Jeddah. It's a port in Saudi Arabia. It's near Mecca. It's in the Red Sea. It's Jeddah, it's called. It's
then you meet
a shithole of a place.
That's why they need cement.
Yeah, because they were building it.
Wow. So you meet up with the sheik's people or something, they pay you off, and then you just go wait for the next call?
No, you hang outside the pool and see, and you tell the guy that you've got his ships for him and send the money.
So you don't even bring the ships to him until
you got the money.
Wow.
So they come out with the launch, they give you the briefcase with the money, and then you take the ships in and everybody's happy.
Have you ever been shorted or not paid your money?
Oh, the time.
Wow.
That's a whole different story, though.
Yeah, you say, I want 15 grand to do this job, and then you go and do it, and you come back. And he said, fuck me, that's only 4 hours. You did it in 4 hours. And I said, yeah. Oh, well, I'm not going to pay you 15 grand. It's seven.
You need a lawyer out there.
Well, what do you do then?
You're next time it's 25 grand.
All right, and it takes 2 days.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not going to get 25 grand. You're going to get 15 or 12, but that's okay.
Wow. You think that somebody who's paying someone to steal for a living would not short you, because then you can just come steal their shit.
Especially for doing a job fast. Hey, you did it real fast.
These are Arab sheikhs.
What?
They're Arab sheikhs.
The sheikhs do what they want.
Yeah, you know. They're Arab sheikhs. I say no more.
That doesn't mean anything to me. I'm a Hoosier.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
I'm an Indiana Hoosier.
Are they like rough characters, I guess? They'll mess you up?
You're in their country, you know.
They're cutting people's heads off over there?
Well, you know, you're an infidel, whatever, you know, you might think you're a nice guy, but in their eyes, we're all infidels, aren't we?
I don't know. John knows about that.
Yeah, pretty much.
John, are we infidels?
Anyway, let's not go into that, you know. It was really nice. I had so much to tell you about pirates and piracy. I had a whole bunch of stuff here and notes and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back on again. You're welcome.
So you invite me again, but, you know, not too late, right? And I'll come and tell you some more stuff.
Oh, we'd love it.
So, anyway, my only message, if you can help me get my message out, if there's any literary agent or the like, or agents out there who are interested in my autobiography, please get in touch.
Yeah, you can go to captaintones.com with a Z, T-O-N-Z. You can get the 13th Day by Anthony B. Cummins. That's available.
Thanks for the plug, Dave.
No, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
There's also, Anthony's also has a YouTube channel that you can go and check out, and he tells some of these stories on there.
Yeah, I'm going to be updating that too very soon. So, you know, next time you have a gap and you don't have a guest, you send me an email, and I'd love to come back.
Yeah, that sounds excellent. Thank you. All right, thank you so much, Captain Tones.
And thank you, and thanks to the listeners. Bye-bye now.
All right, have a good night. I like that guy.
That was my first experience talking with a pirate, and I liked him.
So I hope it's not like, you know, how gang members are like, nah, we're a good group of guys. We care about brotherhood, but I don't think that's the case. I think that, you know, This guy, I like their moral. It seems like they've got some serious morals running deep there.
Yeah. I had no idea that a pirate meant something. It's like a code, you know, a code of ethics. You know, you're not a pirate, man. You think you're a pirate? You're not a pirate.
And that's another thing they say about these Somali pirates. You know, they're always hijacking these ships, and they got guns.
Right, that's what we hear.
Well, yeah, but they rarely does anybody get hurt.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, but it sounds terrifying. Oh, Somali pirates hijacked people, you know? That just sounds terrible. But you're saying, oh, no one really gets hurt. And from him, it sounded like they were just trying to police this guy who was doing something real annoying and stupid.
Fuck him.
What was the guy doing again? I can't remember. But whatever he was doing.
The tanker?
Yeah.
He was washing his boat, which I don't know what that entails, but he's washing his boat at sea. So I don't know what that means, but it sounds like it's ruining the ocean.
Yeah, he said it took a whole bunch of resources to do that or something.
Yeah.
So don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't know all the jargon. I knew what a galley was. I didn't get props for that. I don't even know if it's called a galley.
Only because
Casey Ryback worked in the galley, you know?
The galley. Casey Ryback.
Damn straight he did. You know?
Right.
Do you got a song, John?
Oh, yeah. I was doing a wind down, I guess. I was going
to
say something.
Oh, yeah. What do you got to say, John? Well, How you been? What's something you're sitting on?
Oh, no. It's a blue thing.
What do you say, brother?
Well, I was going to say something about him, but I forgot what it was.
It's impolite to talk about the guests when they leave.
Well, I just wanted to clear a couple things up that I didn't understand.
Well, what are they?
Well, that was it. They're washing the boat at sea, which that sounds ridiculously stupid. Why would you wash your boat at sea?
Who knows if that's even what he said, but I think that's what he said. He's probably listening to this right now going, those bastards, I told him.
That was the only thing that I didn't totally get. You know, the sheik thing, that was a bit confusing, and I'm looking for the thing. But once I found out there was two sheiks, you know, he's in between two sheiks, then I totally got it.
You have to understand what a sheik is, which I don't think either one of us did.
I was looking at pictures of him. It's like guys with, like, you know.
Ligon's Iron Sheik.
Yeah, Iron Sheik. What, yeah.
Yeah, I like that guy. I like that guy. We'll have to bring him on again.
Dale.
You did this last time, didn't you?
Dale.
That's a
rhythm box. Thanks a lot for that rhythm box.
That is so strange.
It really is. It's frustrating is what it is. Because now
you're a fascinating particular.
I'm pretty good at computers. Like, I like to, like, you know, if there's something I have kind of figured out, like, you know, computers, but
I feel
like an idiot when I come over here on this Linux thing.
You're a shortcut master, but it seems like all the things that happened to you on that computer never happened to me.
Like, I believe it. I guarantee you I use computers in a weird way.
Like if I try and play a song, it never plays the wrong song.
I have no idea how that even happened. Yeah.
And also, the thing never locks up on me.
Yeah, I definitely have, like, a whole bunch of stuff open at once.
Yeah. Maybe I'm more patient, I
guess.
Probably,
yeah.
Because you're a clicking bastard. Yeah. You like to click.
Yeah, I should be able to click as much as I want.
Usually on a Mac, you can.
Yeah.
But not this old whatever the hell we're running. Hey, Chris Briggs Show live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on strangelabel.com. Check it out. We got a lot of shows on there. I'd like to thank Darren Snyder. Wait, was I supposed to say all the shows? There's too many shows to list. Go to strangelabel.com. Check out all the shows. I'd like to thank this Darren Snyder guy from indiantune.com. He's still around. Mike Moore from WFODix.com. That guy's always hanging around doing something important. John G from 405. That guy's a tweet machine. Thank you, John G. Matt Leroy from Beardy and the Beast. He gets a lot of tweets to him about music. Mary Elizabeth Rumsey from meandrhyme.wordpress.com. She's the three queen. Rich Barker from Punk Rock Night at the Melody Inn. I don't think you need to say any more about that guy.
Wow, that guy, Rich Barker. Rich B, 2003.
Saturday night, Punk Rock Night, the Melody Inn, 38th and Illinois in Indianapolis.
Okay,
why is this still playing?
Thank you very much.
John?
What? I'm going to rewind it.
Oh. Well, there was too much Maya talking.
I was going to let it right out and then hit it again. Play it again. Sam.
No. Too much Maya talking.
Too much Maya. Enough Maya.
Maya comes on at the fucking end. The
right.
Song, it shouldn't go to Maya before it goes back to the beginning.
Okay. The song ends with a note, not Maya.
Yes. Because Maya is not the song.
Right.
John, we got a very nice message from a oops.
I'll put that on loop. We got a nice message. That's a change.
Yeah.
Usually it's that J. Cole sending us nasty faces and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know what her beef is. I'm trying to work. Oh, I'm opening up the wrong thing. We got a very nice message I want to acknowledge. Where is this thing? Okay. Man, where's this? All right, I got this. I got this, John. Maybe not. Why is this so complicated for me?
That's how it is. Anytime you're on the show, you're trying to look something up, it doesn't work. I like that picture of Chad C. Meek and his giant dog.
Chad C. Meek was the giant rock guest.
Yeah. He's got a giant dog. He was on last week. That giant rock thing is fascinating.
Fucking Facebook has too many apps, man. Have one app, the Facebook app. They got a Facebook Pages app, a Facebook Messenger app. Right. Why? Or have one link me to the other one if you can't do what I want to do.
One master app. Come on, Facebook, please.
These guys suck.
If you want to steal our data, you got to make it easy for us to use your stuff.
Okay. So we got a nice message yesterday. a girl named Melissa, and it said, "Thank you so much for taking time and caring about and being sensitive to my dear friend Maya Maloff. I was not there for her in the last few months, and I should have been. It was good to hear her voice and laugh. I knew all of her, and she was so young. I've been in and out of the Kootenays for a few years now, and mental health is a major issue there. I wish I could hear some of the voicemails. I loved her dearly, and I'm sorry I wasn't there. Amazingly generous and kind and thoughtful person. M." So, shout out to Maya.
Yeah.
That's a depressing ass fucking
shout
message.
Shout out to Maya. I was listening to Born to Die today. I thought of her. Should we send the voicemails to her friend? She was like, "I wish I could hear him." You know how you can hear him.
I told her they're somewhere on YouTube and on our past episodes.
Yeah, past episodes. You want to hear Maya, you listen to Chris Briggs Show.
But I don't know. I mean, if we had them all categorized or, you know I mean, like downloaded, that'd be cool. But I remember... You missed a whole bunch of them at the when she passed. I said, let's play some of these old ones, and you only gathered like you said you could only find three of them.
Well, let's go back and look at them because they're all saved in the Google Voice. That's one thing they did do for us.
All right, well, we're not gonna do that right now, are we?
No,
I see you moving around. You look like you're.
Write that down so we remember.
Now that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay, John, do you want to thank anybody?
I just thank one and all. You know.
I don't think that's what you're supposed to say.
There's a big board in front of me. I would like to think.
Well, pull it up on your fucking computer. Don't you have it written down?
Somewhere.
There was never a problem before. All of a sudden, some change happened, and now you don't have it. Now you can't do it. You used to have it. You used to do it all by yourself.
But then.
You used to do it all by yourself.
Megan started doing it, and then it was just you guys. So
Megan abandoned us.
She did.
Because she's got no love for the Chris Briggs Show.
I just don't get it, dude. Why wouldn't she want to come on the show?
Who?
Megan. Because
she doesn't want to discuss her personal life.
Thanks. Shout out to, where did you leave off at, though? Jack at the mix?
Ron.
Ron? We got to thank Ron at Radio Max Music. You have to. Jeremy at Couch Potato Nation. Mark at Tangent Bound is doing a lot of heavy lifting. Jack at the Mix FM is doing a lot of stuff for us. Suma Peter, Chris, where's that guy out of?
Africa.
That guy's coming out of Africa. Shout out. Linda and Ron, shout out to you guys. Hopefully you get the station up and running. Or thanks for keeping it running. Tom at the Talk Stream Live. Mike at the IRN Internet Radio Network. And Toby at the Radio Blitz. I was talking to Toby the other day. He's a good man. The Mars.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he liked the doodles. He posted them all on his own website. Toby, thanks, man.
I'd like to thank the Mars Sound Man at United Sounds Choice and Tico at FJS Radio and Peter at Cornucopia Broadcasting and most importantly, Big Nate on the air from Cover Charge Radio.
That's something that guy does.
Oh! That was so loud.
They're open bombs. That's what he does. He drops bombs.
Bum, 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 bum. Okay, thank you very much. I hope you play it. And I know this is recording. And I hope you play it. Okay, see you guys.